Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Becky, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello.
Ariel.
What's up?
And our beautiful producer, Rachel.
Hi. Wow, I got the best intro of them all.
You did? Yeah, you got the beautiful producer. Wow. And we also have our podcast pixie, Miles.
Woo!
And his pixette, Rainy. We have a very fun episode for you guys. We asked you to send us some questions to our email, and you guys sent some really deep questions.
We got a lot of, really difficult to answer questions. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We're going to try anyway.
Yeah. We're going to try to do it as best we can.
What is that email address, Becky?
It's youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com.
All right.
Light it up. Send us more. Ooh. I thought it was going to be like, what's your favorite color?
What is your favorite color, Becky?
It's tough.
That's a deep question.
Maybe the questions aren't that deep. I'm just uncommitted to answers.
What are your favorite colors?
I do wonder. Mine changes. It's currently like greenish.
Okay.
Like not like, you know, forest green. It's more of a like a sagey green.
If you walk around the Try Guys office, I can tell.
maybe that influenced like either my favorite color is because of all the green in the office, or all the green in the office is because my favorite color is currently green.
There it is.
What about you?
Well, right now I really like a color that I've never liked before. It just like came to me this spring, probably due to marketing.
Mm.
But lavender is like popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
I've never liked lavender, and all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, do I need another stasher bag in lavender? Do the girls need lavender dresses? Do I need lavender nails? What?
Yeah. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, it sounds like a
yes. The answer is yes.
I feel like pastels are very in as of lately. Pastel yellow, pastel orange, pastel pastels.
Yeah. What's your fave?
As of lately, I like orange and yellow.
I always love orange.
I like any
and
color
yellow.
Except brown. All the colors. Mine is brown.
I could even get behind like a light brown.
Yeah.
You know, like a
the walls a behind us.
Like, I was going to say like that.
No, not so much like that. I'm actually thinking about nail color. Like a grayish brown.
Oh, yeah.
Like a grayish nail.
A grayish beige.
Someone commented that the walls are the color of my hair. And I looked at our video and I was like, they're somewhat right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You kind of blend in really well.
Yeah.
You're camouflaged.
Becky, does this further refine your color?
No, I still don't. I don't think I have a favorite color.
You love them all.
I love them all. I love different. I love certain colors for house things, certain colors for clothes, certain colors for nails.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think the reason we're seeing those pastels isn't the yellow was one of the Pantone colors this year.
Is that right?
And then I want to say, yellow. I'm going to look it up and see what the colors were. Because I remember they came out and I was like, holy shit, those are ugly. And then started seeing them everywhere and you're like, wow, I've been influenced.
Yeah, can you give us those Pantone colors of the year? Pantone, it's not just one color every year. They come out with
two
different colors.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I think that's the most fun job in the world.
Just choosing the Pantone
colors. Choosing
color
the Pantone colors of the year. If someone could give me that job,
illuminating, and ultimate gray. Neon.
Looking at them side by side.
Side by side, they're not good together.
They look ugly.
Yeah, but so
I'm into it.
For those of you who are just listening, it's like highlighter yellow and
like a titanium gray.
Yeah. Industrial gray.
That's fascinating.
They're weird together.
You look like a sports team, you know?
Okay, give me that job. I would like that job. I'm quitting Try Guys to choose the Pantone colors
color of
the year. It's going to take me all year.
I have been really into the combination of brights, like bright colors, like a bright pink and orange or something like that, or like red and yellow. Oh,
I love that too. Like, remember in a meeting we had about something that is unannounced yet, I pulled up that acne bag that was like the bright orange and then the pale orangey, yellowy pink straps. Yeah, the like almost monochrome, but one's intense and one is not.
I like 70s vibe.
I really like that. Yeah. And you have that like Bob's Marionettes.
Yes.
Bag.
Same, same.
It's just like brights, like really highlightery colors. I don't know what it is about it that just gets me going right now.
Gets me going.
Gets me going. Not in like a sexual way, in like a, you know, excited way. Like gets me out of bed in the morning.
You know. Not into bed at night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, into bed at night would be not sexual either. Because then I just fall asleep.
Yes, yes.
Anywho, let's talk about some of the things that our audience wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's read some of those questions.
We asked, you wrote in, you have lots of thoughts, guys. All right. Should I just jump right in? No, let's warm up. Question number one. Karina writes, am I a bad feminist? First of all, don't shame yourself. There are no bad feminists. Answer's no, Karina. No, you're not. Am I a bad feminist if I take my husband's name? I wanted to hear your opinions because I think of you as such strong, amazing women. Mm. I want to know why you decided to change your last names when you got married. I'd also love to hear what Maggie plans on doing when she gets married. Mm. Thanks.
That is a great question.
So who changed their last name? Who didn't? Why? And what you gonna do?
I'd like to hear the beginnings first. And then I kind of...
Yeah. Who got married first? Let's go in order.
Yeah. That was me. Definitely me. Yeah. Well, okay. I took Ned's name. My maiden name is Vandervoort, which is very long and confusing for a lot of people because it... like if we did it the traditional way, it's like Dutch Belgian. And if you did it the traditional way, there would be spaces. Mm-hmm. But we took out the spaces when my great grandfather moved to the United States. And so it was all one word, but with a capital letter. So it was Vanda and then capital Voord. Oh. Yeah. Which was very confusing for many people. I was used to it, but so I considered not taking Ned's name, but Ned, his mom didn't take his dad's name when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. And that was very confusing for a lot of his friends. And so when we were discussing taking, should I change my name? Should I not change my name? Mm-hmm. You know, that was an experience that Ned had, and it just occurred to me that I didn't really care that much, and I didn't want my kids to have that confusion, you know? Mm. And Ned, he didn't ask me to take his name, but he was kind of like, you know, if it's not important to you, I grew up with this confusion, and I would love for you to take my name, you know? And I was like, okay, sounds good. That's great for me. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was not, I don't think it is a question of feminism. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that has anything to do with it at all.
Nope.
I think it for us, it was a question of ease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we knew that we wanted kids, and I knew that it would be easier for our kids to, you know, to have parents that, you know, like when we're flying, oftentimes like Ned's mom wouldn't be seated with the rest of the family because she didn't have the same last name. Mm. You know, it was, and like, it was the sort of thing where, like Ned's friends would be like, oh, Mrs. Fulmer, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she'd say, actually it's Miss Gallo, you know? And so it was just very confusing. And so I think that it just occurred to me that it would be easier to take Ned's name. So Miles just asked, did Ned consider taking my name? Mm-hmm. And we never even considered it. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was one point when we were like, maybe we should take my name. But, and I also, we also thought about hyphenating, but my maiden name was so long that, you know, if it was Vandervoort Fulmer, I think that would just, I mean, it already doesn't fit on most, you know, applications and things like that. You're in the doctor's office trying to fit, you know, Vandervoort in there. I don't think Vandervoort Fulmer would go over very well. Or Fulmer Vandervoort. I don't really know how those work. yeah. No, we never really considered it. I think we just took the easier last name.
The easiest choice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have friends who both changed both their names to mm-hmm. both have the middle name be her maiden name and both have the last name be his. So they went from being, you know, each with their own last name to both having the middle name Kelly and the last name Sohn. So they're both Kelly Sohn.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And their kid is now Kelly Sohn. Mm. So it's not hyphenated, but it's the same two names.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So he changed his name, she changed her name, and then they named their kid the same thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Which is like one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Becky?
We didn't really have like a discussion on it. Ours was very like quick and easy. Mm-hmm. Miller is a very common last name and so is Rebecca. So it was like, I remember going, the like breaking point for me was like, I was at the gynecologist, like going to like do a pre-interview or something like that. And they pulled me into a back room and they were like, I'm so sorry. We actually called a different Rebecca Miller.
Oh my gosh.
And she said she didn't have an appointment. So we canceled your appointment. So we actually can't see you for like another 3 weeks or something like that. God. And I'd already paid like the parking fee. I'd done all these things. They kept me waiting for like 30 minutes. And I was like, What?
Just fit me in?
I was like, I can't. And so like, obviously being me, I was like, I was like, but I need my birth control. I'm going to get pregnant, please. And they were like, here, just make sure you come back. Just make sure you come back. And I was like, okay. So that was like my point where I was like, yeah, it's just too common. And I have a brother and I know that like some people worry about like their family name being lost or something. I'm like, he's always going to be Michael Miller. So
right. Yeah,
it's going to be there somewhere. Yeah. So, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll their do Habersburger. I didn't really consider like when I went to change my driver's license that I probably should have practiced writing Habersburger.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
Your signature on your driver's license is like Habersburger.
It is like a child wrote it. It goes down on an angle. Mm-hmm. And I got so nervous last year when people started talking about how they were going to be checking like that voting ballots get thrown out because the signature doesn't match. And like, when I sign documents, I just sign like a fast way. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was going to do it on my ballot. And then I like literally took my driver's license, put it in front of me and like tried to copy the exact like,
wow.
I basically forged my own signature.
That is so funny.
So yeah, I would highly recommend if you are going to change your last name to practice spelling it. Yeah.
Before you're put on the spot.
Long.
Doodle it.
Doodle it a couple times. Figure out your signature.
Wow. Yeah. That's so funny.
And probably for the first like year and a half, I had trouble spelling it.
Yeah.
Like when we'd be at a bar and I'd be like, oh yeah, it's Habersburger.
Yeah. You went from a less complicated name to a more complicated name.
But if you spell it in threes, it is a very like phonetically spelled last name.
Yeah. Every once in a while though, I get confused. I'm like, did I put too many ERs in it?
Yeah.
Habersburger.
That's what I get when I say H-A-B as in boy, I immediately forget what comes next. And then I'm like, H-A-B as in boy, E-R-S, B-E-R-G-E-R, B as in boy again.
Yeah. Yep.
Only Bs, no Vs.
Yeah. The kids are going to have a hard time.
Yeah. So I didn't give much thought to it at all. Yeah. And like people in my family have different last names all over the place. So we never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't. I don't know. I don't have much like tie to names.
Right.
I'm like, whatever.
You guys are so funny. I feel so differently.
Yeah. Tell us.
Hell no. I didn't change my name. That's my goddamn name. I'm a grown ass woman. I'm a person in the world. I'm not taking your name. I'm Rachel Watson. I'm Rachel Ann Cole, motherfucker. Sure. I'm a grown up. I'm not taking your name. No.
I wonder if it also has to do with like when you got married.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because
I'm
Becky
sure
and I
if
married.
I got married at like 24, coming like pretty recently out of Tennessee, I would have changed my last name.
Yeah.
I would have only considered it if they had a really amazing last name, like Darling. Like, and then I could be Rachel Darling. But like, short of that, no. Watson's a lovely last name. But no.
You want your name.
Yeah. I am my person. I want my name. And you know what? The school I taught at in New York was all girls. And all the teachers there, irregardless of marital status.
Regardless.
Oh. Regardless of marital status. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, but irregardless, not a word.
Oh, really?
Right?
Yeah.
Irregardless. Oh, it's not a word. People will come at you in the comments, and I don't want them to do that to you.
The one who trolls me bleep this is...
Oh,
she says I don't brush my hair. There's another troll trolling me?
Well, she trolls all of us. She's very mean.
Okay. Okay. I have something to say. If you're trolling us in the comments, stop watching.
That's a great...
Rachel's looking direct to camera.
Yeah.
Don't
She's
watch.
Breaking the fourth
you
wall.
Don't like it? It's elective. Don't watch. Just don't watch. No need to troll us. You don't like it? Don't watch.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the school we taught at, we're back in. It's all girls. And for the teachers, regardless of marital status, everyone went by MS period. Ms. Cole.
Mm. Yeah.
Ms. whatever. And that is because we wanted the girls to know it does not matter whether you're married or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can go by doctor if you're a doctor, and otherwise MS. It doesn't, like, there's no reason why at your job or out in the world, people need to know the first thing about you is that you are attached or married. No one knows that about men. And I loved that.
That's fascinating.
I don't know. I think that's so great. Too. So I love being Ms. Cole now. Not that anyone calls me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it just doesn't matter if I'm married or not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know? And, like, men don't do that. So anyways, I love that you guys feel so chill about it. And I did not feel chill about it.
How old were you when you got married, Becky?
26? 26?
I was 25.
I saw. 26?
How long have you been married?
4 years.
Okay, 26.
Yeah,
right?
26.
Yeah.
No, I'm 31.
I had you in my head as turning 30 again this year.
I have it in my head too. I thought you turned 30.
30, 31, I wish.
I erased 2020 from my my life.
We're all a year younger than we actually are.
For me.
I know. I have to think about my... Everyone's like, how old are you, Maggie? I'm like, wait. How old am I?
I know. It's because I'm in denial in my brain.
Yeah. Rach, how old were you when you got married?
32.
Okay. See, I think that when you have a little bit more life experience behind you, you... care more about,
and maybe you feel more attached to, like, your name out in the world.
Yeah.
I think it also depends on, like, professional things. Like, I already had my websites and my business card, so, like, my everything else is the same.
Yep.
What this is showing me is that everyone has such different experiences, and you should just do whatever feels right for you.
That is the ultimate thing about engagements, weddings, marriage, changing your name, traditions, any of that. Mm-hmm. You should do what's right for you.
Yeah.
If you like it,
everybody has like such different like family dynamics and things like that. But what Zach and I have been talking about this a little bit, and we don't really have the answer at all.
Yep.
But Bustamante just is like such a part of my identity, you know?
Yeah.
That I was even considering maybe just switching my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm Margaret. I'm named after my grandma, great grandma Margarita, who raised my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father's father abandoned him when he was like 2 months old. Oh, but he took his father's last name kept it and like didn't want to change it because out of respect for my great grandmother, because that was her last name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm named after her. And then my middle name is Angela. That's after my mother's mother.
Uh-huh. So you have Angelita. Two family names.
I have two family names. So just because of that, just taking rid of it at all, like completely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because the most traditional thing would be for you to be Margaret Bustamante Kornfeld.
So what we're thinking of doing is changing Bustamante to my middle name.
Yep.
Or doing Camino, which is my grandmother's last name, to keep my Spanish roots, and then my last name to be Kornfeld.
Could you have four names?
I know. It would be Margaret Bustamante. So it's such a lengthy, I don't know.
I know, but only you would know you had four, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My best friend has her mother's maiden name as her middle name.
She does?
Her middle name's Nelson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might give one of a future child the middle name Cole. I considered it for both of the girls. I just... didn't like it with their first names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying,
you know, what I mean, they would have to go together.
Everybody's so different. And
I have a good friend whose She's married. She didn't take her husband's last name. They just had a baby a year ago, and they gave the baby her last name.
Mm, yeah, why not?
You can do whatever.
You can do whatever. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
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 I know. I will say when you change that last name, ooh, be ready for the paperwork.
There's so much paperwork.
So much depending paperwork. On your age, yeah. All your credit cards, all your bank things.
When you were like, the easiest way is to just change it and all be the same last name. I was like, kind of the easiest way is just to keep name. Yeah. Really cool. You don't have to do jack shit.
And all of the marriage certificates that you have to print and get copies of, that was the most annoying part to me. I'm like, why do I have to, can't I just tell the bank I changed my last name?
Yeah.
Why do I need to send every credit card a copy of my marriage certificate?
It seems very old fashioned, doesn't it?
Yeah. But at the time I didn't have anything.
Oh, that's true.
You know, it's like, that's change my passport, change a couple credit cards, and then I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. There's like three different places at my work site that you'd have to submit paperwork to. It's like your badge plus your computer access plus something.
You probably your nurse's license.
And like your whatever you like log into like the medical tower, like the medication tower. Mm-hmm. There's like three different places. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much. Yeah. And there was one time I was like paging one of the physicians and I'm like paging her over and over and over. And it's just going into nowhere.
Yeah.
And she comes onto the unit. I was like, I've just been paging you like crazy. Like there's this thing going on. She's like, oh my God, I just got married. And I was like, congratulations, congratulations. But you need to update all your pagers because we're all trying to page you and we cannot get through to you. Help.
Congratulations. This is not get on. Yeah.
First off, congratulations. Second off, girl.
Well, how amazing, incredible. Get it together.
But I think it sounds like has nothing to do with feminism. It has everything to do with just like how you feel about your name.
Yeah. And well, it has a little to do with feminism if you have a partner who is not open to hearing it. Because I did have a friend from college who was talking to her fiance and he was like, and she was like, I don't know if I want to change my name. I think I want to keep it. I feel very tied to it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's really important to me that you change your name. And that to me can be a conversation, but like ultimately you got to do what you want to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. I had a friend or her mother-in-law found out that she wasn't changing her name on her wedding day as she was getting ready, like with makeup. And she was so mad at her husband now. And she's like, I can't believe he didn't tell her. It was like such like an awkward exchange.
Wow.
Well, also sometimes it's like family pressures as well.
Yeah. There's another pro tip when you get married. If you are planning on changing your last name or are not planning on changing your last name, make sure everyone who comes to your wedding knows this.
Oh, right.
Because we got checks written to Keith and Rebecca Habersberger, but there was no Rebecca Habersberger at our bank.
Oh, gotcha.
So a few of our checks got like questioned until we had to like bring everything in and change things.
Wow.
So always make it out to just the, you know, either one person or both names of the couple.
Yeah. The name situation is so interesting because it becomes so apparent when you are writing those wedding invitations, you know, like Dr. and Mrs. or, you know, like it's all these different invitation writing where you're writing it to, you know, Keith Habersberger and Rebecca Miller, you know, instead of Mr. and Mrs. Habersberger or something like that. And so like you can get it wrong. People get like offended. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's an interesting.
Well, I think when my parents were like going to weddings and stuff, they would get Mr. and Mrs. Danny Cole, just my dad's name. I was like, she's not Mrs. Danny Cole. She has no name.
What? Right. Yeah.
What?
I mean, is there actually, this is a good question. Is there like a new way of writing wedding invitations now where you include like women's names? Because I know that historically it's usually Mr. and Mrs.
Right.
I wrote XYZ. Everyone's names.
Yeah. I would just write everyone's names out, even if they had the same last name. Did you not do that?
No, we went very traditional.
Well, because you had a very formal wedding.
We had a very formal wedding.
It was like very black tie.
Yeah, we had a black tie wedding.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, it was Mr. and Mrs. Edward Fulmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
What will you do, Mags?
I think out of to avoid confusion, I think I may do them separate because not all my friends are married.
Right.
And a lot of my friends have been together for over 10 years and some of them are still not married. So
yeah.
I think to err on the side of caution to make sure I don't mess anything up and assume someone else is married, then just separately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I like the way it looks when you put and together.
They're like, little buddies.
Ampersand.
Yeah.
Little buddies.
And like putting the man's name before the woman's name.
Mm.
You know?
No.
But I mean, there are all these customs that like
customs created by the patriarchy, Ariel.
You're so right. This is about feminism.
It is.
If you receive my invite,
you
I'm going to
do whatever you want. You're not a bad feminist if you want to take his name. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Do it. But like just know where these traditions come from, and if you don't want to do them, don't do them.
Mhm. Mm.
Do whatever you want.
Absolutely. I'm going to put whoever's name first that I like more.
I'm just
kidding.
That's what I did.
How did you like that?
I did too.
And if I can't decide, then I'll put you all on one line.
Yeah. Or it could go alphabetically or something. But I would always put first whoever I know best, like sort of like more, but like whoever's my closest friend. Because I have very few friends who are in the couple. They're totally equal. I met them at the exact same time. Just like one or two couples from college, but otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
So that's probably girls first.
Yeah.
Is there a like a custom for like same sex couples?
Mm.
I don't think there is a standard for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be like Mr. and Mr.
It would just be whatever the couple decides. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of Mr. Zach Kornfeld and Mr. Keith Habersberger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. I like that Keith and Zach are a couple in this situation.
You know, I just call it like I see it. Just kidding. All right. So, girlfriend, do whatever you want.
Whatever
feel right.
And everything else around marriage and stuff. Do what you want.
Yeah. Do whatever you want.
All right. Ladies, do you have any mental health issues that affect past current relationships? I've watched The Tripod where Zach talks about his OCD, and that is so inspiring. People talking about mental health and no stigma around it gives me the confidence to speak up about mine. Love your podcast, and you guys are just amazing.
I was diagnosed with anxiety depression in college and have been medicated for it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well controlled. But every once in a while I feel, you know, I get a little anxious or I get a little depressed. But I know what that feels like for me. And so I know how to deal with it. And I know that it's just because I've been dealing with it for so long that I know what that feels like. And I know that there are people out there who don't know what that feels like. And so they may be dealing with that and not know what to do about it.
And do you know what your triggers are? Like, do you know how to like avoid them, or will it sometimes surprise you?
Oh, it still surprises me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely still surprises me. But does it affect my relationships? Yes, I think it affects everything in my life. in good ways and bad ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you just have to know that that's a part of, you know, what's going on in your sort of biosphere, you know, and knowing, like, I know that sometimes if I'm feeling really isolated, like if I spend too much time with the kids and not being able to talk to adults or something like that, then I get a little bit down. And so, maybe that's a trigger for me. And so I know that, and I try not to let it affect like my relationship with my family, you know? And so I work to have time to myself so that I can, you know, be a better mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that absolutely affects the way that I approach things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think mental health affects your relationship. Definitely. Yeah. And being open, you know, to talking about things is good. I do think there's like a both positive and negative pressure being a person on the internet and being surrounded by other people who are very open and comfortable talking about their mental health and being in a a realm where I personally don't think the internet's a safe space. So mm-hmm. like, you know,
I come back to like, the aforementioned trolls.
Aforementioned trolls. Yeah. I don't think the internet's a safe space. So I don't know if I'll ever be like, I'm diagnosed with blah, 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 blah. You know, those are things that are really personal to me, mm-hmm. but I will say like in the dialogue about mental health, which I'm glad you brought up, the fact that you were medicated. I'm medicated as well, have been on and off for quite some time. But I think there's a stigma around like telling people that you're medicated. And I think there's like a big push of hearing people say like, oh, well, you know, it won't be forever. It'll be, but I think that kind of puts like a negative light on it, that it's like something that's not okay right now, but like,
but you'll outgrow it,
you'll move on. Like, yeah, and I think something that's missing in that conversation is like how fucking good it feels to be medicated. Yeah. Like being on the right medication, like have been on both sides of right and wrong medications, and being on the wrong side does fucking suck. Like it's awful. Mm-hmm. But when you find the medicine that works for you, that works, you know, in conjunction with your therapy and your psychiatrist, it's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really awesome feeling.
You're suddenly like a functional human being.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, so this is how everyone else gets things done. You know, it feels like it like levels the playing field a little bit.
I like how you said that, that like it's a, there's this conversation about mental health where something is wrong because I don't think that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just a part of who you are. And maybe it's something that you're going through right now, or maybe it's something that is just like part of who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with like struggling with your mental health. You know, I think that like the word struggle, it sort of implies that there is something wrong, but it's just sort of a state of being, you know, like it can be good. It can be bad and you can be dealing with it, or you can be like on a, like in a level place. But if you're not, that's okay too. You know?
I loved, I saw this interview with Bo Burnham, cause I'm on a deep Bo Burnham kick right now.
As is the rest
of the internet.
Yes, we are.
But he did this interview when he was making eighth grade, and he was talking about how he did a stand-up show where he talked about his anxiety from his perspective at the time as like a 23-year-old. Mm-hmm. And these like 14, 15-year-old girls came up to him and were like, I feel the exact same way. Like, and he realized he needed to tell like both of their stories together. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he said that was really interesting is that he realized that there was nothing unique or special about his anxiety. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, okay. But then I was like, no, I fucking love that. Like, there is nothing special about it. It's your thing, and other people are going through that as well. So in the moment, I'll feel really isolating, but it's not, you know.
It's kind of comforting.
Yeah. And coming from a little hottie like Bo.
You're like, Bo is winning it's 2021. Okay. And, you know.
Oh my gosh. His album, when it came onto Spotify, I was so happy. I've just been listening to that while I do dishes.
Yes.
The girls and I were rocking out to it last night, as everyone in here knows. Yes. Listen, I think irregardless of...
Rachel.
Oh, shit.
We need to keep that in, because I have definitely said irregardless.
It's okay. I have certain words.
I'm just being a dick. It's right. It's not a real word. It's not a word. Okay. Yeah.
Irregardless.
It's okay. Double check, Miles.
Rachel, I've made up words before.
You know what's the other one I always get wrong? Nonplussed.
Yeah, nonplussed.
Mm-hmm. When people say nonplussed, they mean plussed.
I've literally never heard that word.
I don't know what you're saying.
I used to pronounce it nonplussed.
Wasn't that what you talked about with Sarah when she was on?
I don't know.
Maybe nonplussed.
Nonplussed.
I think you guys talked about a word that I never heard before as well.
People say that they mean the opposite of that, but okay, regardless.
Because,
because
non-plus, is it real?
So it is not, it is officially recognized as a word because it has been used so much, but it is not a word.
Stop trying to make it happen.
Because it is the opposite of what you mean, when you do actually have regard for the subject.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, Miles, that's
so
fetch.
Technically a word.
It's so fetch.
That's so wrong. Fetch. I apologize.
No, no, I think you're right.
You're right.
But okay, I can't say anything right now though, because I don't know what words to use. The trolls are gonna come for me.
They're not.
They no. always
there
do.
There are no grammar trolls out there, guys.
Oh, there are.
Okay, well, there are, but you know what? Bring it. Because
bring it.
Bring it. We looked it up. It's a word.
It's a word. It's a word.
She made it happen.
Trolls.
So many people have been using it. It's a word.
I just think everyone, regardless if you have a diagnosed mental health issue or not, needs psychological tools and things that help them, whether they are learned from a therapist, learned from your parents, self-found, or they are literally medicine, need tools to help them get through life.
Absolutely.
So like we all have tools at our beck and call. Some of us have more than others, and some of us only need talking tools, and some people need medicated tools, and some people, you know, like need a bigger support system in their lives, and others need slightly less. But we all have a toolbox of things we use to like make it through life.
I love that.
That's what I think.
Because that's totally what it is. It's like, So a long, long time ago, I had a therapist who was trying to explain to me what depression was and like what that feels like in your body and how to recognize it. And she described it as a bucket that's just full of like water, you know? And when you feel good, your bucket is full. And when you feel bad, your bucket is empty. And you know, it can always be somewhere in the middle, but there are certain things that fill your bucket. And there are certain things that empty your bucket, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be one thing that fills your bucket or empties your bucket. And so medication, for me, she described it as like something that could kind of keep the bucket a little bit more full so that when certain things happen that like try to empty it, that there was a little bit more in there, so that it didn't get empty quite as quickly. But you know, things that fill your bucket are things like compliments or sunshine or, you know, going out to lunch with a friend and you know, just feeling good about yourself, like a good hair day, you know, like things like that. And then things that empty your bucket could be like trolls on the internet or, you know, like, and so I still think about kind of my mental health in that way. Exercise is another thing. I think of it as like filling the bucket and things that are emptying the bucket. And like, and so that is one of like, that is probably the main tool that I use. And so when I think about like how I am feeling or, you know, why am I kind of feeling a little bit low? I'm like, okay, I need to do something that will like fill my bucket a little bit more. You know, I need to play with my kids outside. I need to get a little bit of exercise. I need to have a minute alone to drink my coffee. And you know, like,
And even like identifying those things that like help you is so important.
Exactly.
I think this year I got a therapist after, I don't know, I've told myself for the last 4 years that I was going to get a therapist. And then the pandemic hit and Zach started listening to like every single little thing that was like making me anxious. And he became my therapist and my best friend and my everything. And I was like, this is icky. I like don't want to keep doing this. I just don't think it's fair. So I got a therapist I was on a search for a therapist, like right in the middle of like right when everything hit. And I just kind of been put on the back burner. And then finally I just kept searching and finally found one.
That's great.
Yeah.
And how's it felt?
So much better. Yeah. So, because I feel like he would carry my stress too, and like things related to work. Because a lot of the way that I cope with what's going on as work is by not talking about it with a lot of people, except like the people I trust.
Right.
And so when he would hear like things like that, he would kind of carry it too. So I think it's just really important to identify someone in your life, whether it be a therapist. That's kind of, well, a therapist is helpful because they don't mean anything to you, but they are an unbiased perspective on like what
they're stranger.
You're a stranger.
And you don't have
stranger.
To be worried that they're going to hold that anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like, this is what they've chosen to do. This is their job.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're going to put it in
and
a file.
They only have your best interest in mind. Right. Nobody else's. Yeah.
And they're literally paid so much money per hour to just listen to you.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Man, they need to make that cheaper or freer. They need to...
Yeah,
make it more.
Yeah. It needs to be figured out because it's really quite inaccessible at times.
Yeah. and so fortunate to be able to see one. So
yeah, I can't imagine doing the job that you do with the emotional and psychological toll it takes without someone to support you.
There's so many people in my profession, well, that I work with, like just now, that don't talk to people. And like sometimes it shows. I'm like, oh my God, we all just need to take better care of ourselves, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. It's such a weird, because you're supposed to like have this boundary when you're at work and be emotionally detached so you don't hurt yourself emotionally, and then expected to be emotionally available when you get home.
It's right. Like,
that's very hard.
Yeah. It's like sociopathic almost.
It's hard to compartmentalize like that.
I found that very remarkable about you. That like, you know, we've known each other for a long time now, and you don't talk about your job very much.
That's how I deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was always so like proud and just like, you know, like Maggie has this amazing job and she carries it so well, you know, just like, I know how difficult it must be, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's, yeah, that just like knowing that you need to sort of let it go sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. This will be our last question of this podcast, but guys, we didn't get through that many. There are so many more. So we'll make it a two-parter and we'll answer even more of these because we've got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last one of this. First of all, I have to say that your podcast has been such a joy in my life every week. Thank you very much.
You're really filling our buckets right now.
Yeah, you're filling the buckets.
Just keep them coming.
The anti-trolls. This is sad. I just found out today that my cat, who we only got last August, has died from getting hit by a car.
No.
I'm currently away from home for college, and I don't even know how to process this loss. I've spent the majority of my day crying, and all I can do is think about her. I was wondering if you guys have any tips on dealing with or coping with loss.
Wow. The kitty. So first
things first, it's really, really, really hard to process loss when you're not near that person or that animal every day. It's really hard to process it in the abstract because nothing about your daily life changes. Mm-hmm. You're just devastated.
Mm-hmm. You just, you could be going about your daily life and then you remember that something has happened and it makes you sad.
Yeah. I think grief is like that too. Becky's going to cry.
Kitty. Kitty. Oh.
It's really sad. I mean, feel your feelings and be sad is my...
Yeah, be sad. It's okay to be sad. Okay, get sad. Give a cry. Yeah. It feels good. Watch Coco.
Watch Coco.
Watch Coco. Watch Coco. You need a good cry. You just watch Coco.
The new Pixar movie?
Love Coco.
That one makes you cry?
That one makes me sob.
Coco? Oh my God, part? I had to go in the bathroom and like have a moment by myself at the movie theater.
You didn't watch Coco?
I do watch Coco. I don't remember it being like a sob fest.
What?
What?
When Mama Coco is like, and they're singing?
Yeah, that part actually.
And then they go to the offerenda?
I sobbed.
That was, yeah.
Everyone has a grandparent that they love.
That's true.
Oh, that movie.
The truth is, I haven't seen Coco, but I know that it's
sad. Oh, you'd like it.
Oh, it's so pretty.
There's so many colors, right?
Part of
so
why pretty. I didn't see it, I haven't seen a lot of current kids movies, is because I knew it was sad. I was going to cry. I don't like going in knowing I'm going to cry a lot.
Yeah. I like going in knowing I'm going to cry.
Oh, you know, you do. You like the release.
If I ever need a really good cry, I watch The Notebook.
Yeah, The Notebook is really sad.
You guys know how I feel about old people.
Then you would have sobbed at Mama Coco.
Her little face.
I know. But I just, maybe it was the fact that it was animated. Maybe I just don't get as sad about the animated.
The last time I cried really hard in public was on a flight back from New York watching A Star is Born. I was not prepared for the end.
A Star is Born. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, Poppy was asleep on my chest. There were people on either side of me. I was like, this is mortifying, but I can't help it.
Yeah. I didn't know that people hadn't seen the older Star is Born.
I had not.
Because there have been many. So when I went and saw it, I was like, sorry, Gaga. This is not ending well.
It's not.
Like the whole time you're watching it, you're like,
Gaga. Gaga, no.
I haven't seen any of the older ones.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of
the older ones. Is Barbara Streisand?
Yeah.
Oh. Streisand?
Oh.
I think
so. I guess we're recommending movies that help you cry even more.
Yeah.
Give us have a good
what
cry
are
fast.
What are some more of your cry movies? Cry.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so the first memory that I have of like sobbing at a movie, you guys.
Oh, I know mine too.
Yeah, I don't even remember the name of it, but it had Claire Danes in it, and she was.
Give me more.
She was. Yeah, I know that Becky will help me out here. She was in a Thai jail.
Oh God! Oh. Yes, it was because her and her friend got arrested.
Yeah, was that Girl Interrupted or something?
No, that's with Angelina Jolie, I think.
Yeah, no, this was Claire Danes. She was in a Thai jail.
It's like something to do with roaches. About abroad or
Miles is on it.
Yeah.
It's well, that's abroad. So late in life. The first movie I remember sobbing at was The Lion King. I was like 9.
Oh.
And when the dad dies.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
Spoiler alert.
It's so hard.
Spoilers.
But
if you haven't seen The Lion King yet, that's on you.
I don't remember.
Broke down Palace.
And it was a sleepover. It was a sleepover with my friends in middle school. And we were watching that. And I don't know, maybe I was going through something else because it's not that sad of a movie. It's like
hormones were raging in middle school.
Raging hormones because I just remember sitting there with my friends and I could not stop crying. And I had like one of my friends went and got my mom because I couldn't stop crying. They were like, "You don't know what's going on with her. She won't stop crying."
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, "I don't know what's going on. This is so sad." And it wasn't. It wasn't that sad. There was.
I was about to say, I think, don't they
get out of Thai jail?
Don't they leave? Honestly, I don't remember. I was so overwhelmed with like emotion.
Emotion.
I do not know. I don't remember why I was so sad. Because they were in jail, and I just remember something about cockroaches.
Oh,
they like
probably haven't seen that movie in a decade.
I don't think I have watched.
Maybe all our homework will be to go home and watch Broke Down Palace.
Yeah.
See if it holds up.
But what was yours? Do you guys have cry movies?
The last, I wouldn't recommend this after a pet has died, but the last movie that made me sob was a horror thriller, but it had a twist at the end that broke me. It takes place in Spain.
Is it The Orphanage?
It's Orphanage. Oh my gosh. I sat
How
in front
scary
of
scary is it?
It's scary.
It's like 50-50 scary.
It's 50-50 scary.
50-50, yeah. That's for me. 110%
scary.
But there's a twist at the end. Oh my God. Yeah. That left me crying while the credits were going for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
There's like a lot of practical spooks in that movie.
Yeah.
Like there's a beautiful scene at the end that's so scary, but is all done with a camera and people.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to spoil it. People moving in different places.
Yeah.
While the camera moves. And you're just like,
I can respect that, but it'll haunt my dreams for too long to watch it.
Yeah.
I get scared.
And it's subtitled, so you're reading the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I get too scared. Like, what happens to me is I wake up in the middle of the night having to pee, and I just hold it because I'm too scared to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch a scary movie about peeing in the middle of the night?
No, any scary movies, I just can't. I just can't. It's like too scary.
Too scary.
I see.
Or my kids will cry out, and I'll be like, it's really to go in there and help you because I'm so scared. I just can't do it. Do you have a cry movie, Becky?
Coco. If I get something in my eye, I just watch the last like couple minutes of Coco, but really any of those Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I was actually talking with like one of my girlfriends, and I have quite a few friends who have lost parents, and we were talking about how great it is that the Disney movies have gone from being like Lion King or like Cinderella, these movies with like missing parents in them, to being like about like teaching young kids how to cope with the loss of a parent, and that there's like more to that relationship than just like your brother can be your parent, your sister can be your parent. Like Frozen, Onward, they were all like a soul, Inside Out. They're all movies that teach you how to deal with, you know, grief or loss in a way that Disney hasn't done before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love all those. So I usually cry at the end of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Onward, I cried. I was like, this is so beautiful. They love each other.
I know.
That has never occurred to me.
Yeah.
The beginning of Up is the saddest 20 minutes of all time.
So sad. I also cried a lot at the end of Call Me By Your Name, but I was maybe high. I knew you were gonna say that.
I was maybe stoned, and I was just like, it's just something. It wasn't even like the movie, because I was like a little creeped out by the like age difference. I was like, this just doesn't feel romantic to me. But it was something about Timothée Chalamet staring into that fireplace crying, and my little stoner brain was like, he's so hurt. He's so hurt. And then I was like, he's such a good actor. I hope he does good things in life. And then I was just crying about Timothée Chalamet's like life. I was like, so famous, so young.
He's so beautiful. Yeah, so
I hope it doesn't ruin him. I hope it doesn't go to his head. I hope he stays humble and grounded.
That's so funny. That's
so funny.
Oh my God.
No one here is watching Top Chef currently, are you?
No.
Does Top Chef make you cry?
Well,
I haven't watched Top Chef before. So.
Not last week, but the week before. We're down to the final like five people, and there were two women left, and one of them got a second chance and came back from their like second show, Last Chance Kitchen. She like fought her way back, and they sent home the other one, this much beloved Hispanic chef named Maria. And as they went to send her home, the other woman was like, no, I got my second chance. She should get a second chance. I believe in her. And she started to cry, and she tried to give up her place in Top Chef. And they basically wouldn't let her. They're like, you'll regret it forever. We stand by our decision. And I was just sobbing.
Oh, wow.
It was very moving. Also, my period was on the way. So, you know, I didn't stand a chance. But like, it was so, I don't know, female friendships like that, they really get to me.
Yeah. That's amazing. That she was like, no.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't let her do it. She was like, no, you have to stay. It was very powerful.
You're like, this is a lot.
Guys, we don't have any air conditioning in this room right now. Just to let you know why we're all like so wafting shiny ourselves thing. And yeah. Schwitzing like crazy. But that is all the time we have for this week's episode. I hope we answered your questions. I think we kind of got, you know, maybe meandered around.
We're really sorry about your cat.
So sorry about your cat. Yeah. That is.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I wish I could give you a hug and bring you a new cat.
We're sending you all the virtual hugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, guys, we're going to answer more questions. We're going to keep going.
Next week,
we're going to finish these deep ass questions you want to know. So we'll see you then. Make sure you keep emailing us and writing. Comment nice things.
Only nice
things. Only nice things, please. Please.
We're very sensitive.
Neutral or nice?
Neutral or nice. We're very sensitive. What else? Oh, download and listen to us on like Spotify and Apple.
I was going to say this earlier, but like if you're really into mental health stuff, check out Kelsey Darragh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
If you want to hear people talk about mental health in a real ass way, Kelsey Darragh's book, Podcast Life, does that.
Yeah.
That's where you can hear about some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
You saying I'm sensitive reminded me of
that. Oh, that's true. That is her like tagline.
We're sensitive.
I'm also glad I did not wear that sweater today. I was thinking about it and I was like,
oh yeah.
So what about a puddle?
So sweaty.
What about a puddle?
Poor Maggie. Sorry.
I'm so hot.
Maggie's like, end the episode already.
He's lost 3 pounds during this podcast.
I did not wear a shirt underneath the sweater, guys. So
we're going to go ice ourselves.
We're going to go ice ourselves off. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.